book
this
called
conference will
is a book called Today Matters, and it's just a terrific book because it highlights part of what John talked about from Manifest Stage as well, because he does talk about success and leadership and all of that, and he highlighted, you know, what is success and all the principles around success and the importance of looking at each day as that's the time we have and maximizing the quality of each day instead of looking at success as some kind of mysterious thing. So let's talk about what he, you know, the book Today Matters, and it's a recommendation if you like the material today that you obviously get the book, because he has a lot of helpful hints at the end of every chapter on how to implement this stuff in your life. And I always love books like that, because a lot of times we read books and if we don't know how to, you know, make some change in our life, we're not very good at analyzing and strategizing how it can change your life, you end up just being a great book reader instead of watching how it shifts your life and helps transform you. So in John's Today Matters, he talks about how does today impact tomorrow's success? And everybody, of course, when you get up in the morning, everybody wants to have a good day, but many of us don't even know what that necessarily looks like or how to create it. Or as he puts it, fewer even understand how the way you live today impacts your tomorrow. And it's logical sense, but a lot of people get stuck in that. They just get stuck in, blowing off a day, just letting a day pass without accomplishing something or getting things done. When you start living your life like that, one becomes two, becomes five, becomes 2 weeks, becomes 2 months, becomes 2 years, and all of a sudden your life's gone past you and you're still wondering when your boat's going to dock or when success is going to land in your lap. Well, as John puts it, that doesn't happen. That's some of our severe misunderstandings about what success is all about. And when we have those misunderstandings, that's what's going to cause us to not lead our lives right in the right direction. And so he looks at what are some of the common misconceptions around success. What goes on for us when we think about success that are misperceptions? One would be success is impossible, so we criticize it. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that, and I think it comes a lot from people with scarcity thinking that they come to the point where it's impossible. Well, first of all, nothing's impossible, okay? Nothing's impossible. So if you got to start believing that and living your life from that perspective, for those of you who are committed to a Christian walk, you know that's scriptural. I mean, anything is possible through God. That's a scripture, and if you believe that, you believe it. And some of you believe it, but I see a lot of Christians who say they believe it because they believe scripture, but they don't live it. And so there's a real disconnect between believing a scripture and living a scripture. And it's the concept of anything is possible and starting to have the faith and belief that anything, you can create anything you set your mind to do. But some people have an idea that life should be easy, that you know, when it becomes very hard, just like Manatech might be for some of you, Manatech as a business, I think the system or the concept of the Yes Plan or our four core products, I mean, those are, you know, those can be easily, you know, understood and described. So the system of how to do the business and how to structure your organization and how to make $3,300 and your first 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 3 months, all that's pretty simple. It's not hard to understand it. But is it simple to do Manatech? And that's where I think we lose sight. I think the business itself is not easy because it takes a lot of discipline and structure and perseverance, and that's where the success comes, is the determination to put that kind of energy. But a lot of people think, they want easy money. People get involved in network marketing and they think they can, you know, get easy money. Well, I don't think there's such a thing as easy money in network marketing. It's just there might be, you might have a story that you can tell about somebody who did it, but there's always something else behind the story. There's something else behind the story. So we need to, and I look at this whole concept about how we criticize success. You know, success is impossible, so we criticize it. And I look at what happened recently. I just kind of pick up in the news when we talk about the AIG corporate executives. Now we saw this big, huge attack the minute they found out $164 million was being paid to corporate executives at AIG, just people in different areas, the bonuses being paid. Everybody just totally flipped out, and the country got riled up, and some people got so riled up they death threats, and they took buses to go around and visit these people, like to lay guilt on their hearts. And And I think part of what was going on, yeah, we don't like people taking advantage of the taxpayers' money, but, you know, there are a lot of good people working for AIG who are just doing their jobs, who had nothing to do with these hedge funds and credit splits and all the stuff that went down. And, you know, that was just part of their contract with the company. And yet, and maybe they were overpaid. But you know what? I don't know anyone. There's no one on this call who, if they were going to a job every day and working hard and felt they were making a lot of money, I mean, like that they were technically overpaid, I've never seen an employee go to an employer and say, you know what, you're overpaying me. I mean, that just doesn't happen. So it's part of our society that a lot of these payment structures got a little outrageous, and but we get angry about it. And the anger comes from, I believe, that it comes from a scarcity mentality as well, because I was against the bonuses being paid, but I also had a lot of empathy for some of those people who were really solid, good people that were just getting annihilated by the overreaction of the public. So we don't want to criticize it. Don't make it wrong, and then don't make it, well, who wants success anyway? Well, duh. I mean, all of you should want success. Every single person. Success isn't just measured in money. It's measured in so many different ways. It's the joy you lead with your life, the peace you have in your life, the financial security in your life, the emotional stability you have in your life. All these are factors in success. It depends on how you define it for you, but we should all desire success. Otherwise, we give up. What are we? We become apathetic and we give up. Number two, success is mystical, so we search for it. This is one that he talked about from stage. He talks about the concept that success has escaped us, and so we're looking for the magic bullet, or we're looking for the silver bullet, or the magic formula, or the golden key. You know, and in network marketing, we do this all the time. Every time somebody comes out with a new system, it's like, oh my gosh, this is a perfect system. This is going to work. There's always something that's going to be perfect. You know, and there is nothing perfect. There is no magic system. It's the reason why, you know, each time a new system comes out, maybe 2% of the associates or 1% of associates take it, run with it, and are very successful with it. But the other 99% never get anywhere, and they might have applied it perfectly. They might have approached the business perfectly, applied the system perfectly, and they didn't achieve the success. I saw the same thing with the ICANN program. You know, I mean, there are some people that are still doing terrific with it. But there's a whole group of people that, you know, went after it, and they applied it, and it just didn't work for them. Well, because there is no magic bullet. There's no silver bullet. There's no golden key. There's no one way that's going to work for everybody. So it's the reason we try different ways and different things. Just like social networking. Some of you would do social networking and you're going to be great at it. Other people do social networking and they're not. So the different things fit different personalities. But there is no silver bullet. And people who desire that silver bullet are, again, looking for what? They're looking for success without really having to have to work hard for it. I mean, that's why you think there's a silver bullet. You pray there is, because, boy, you don't want to work hard. And so it's another common misconception of success. There is no magic solution to success. A third misconception that we have is we believe success comes from luck. So we hope for it. In other words, we see others that have success. We can see Jet, and we can see all those people from stage who are having, you know, the top 20 income earners and or top 10 income earners, the top 20 business builders, and we watched that gentleman, South Korean, who lives in Canada, who was Rookie of the Year. And he started Manatech in March, third business period last year, and he got to Bronze Presidential by the end of the year. And we go in and go, oh my gosh, was he lucky? You know, maybe I'd like to be in the right place at the right time. Let's do the, you know, it's like playing the lottery. Well, those are 50 million to 1 odds. I mean, being in the right place, this guy, this rookie, the number one rookie in Manatech in Canada, he wasn't lucky. It was his success had nothing to do with luck. Here's a guy who went out and he said, I'm committing to the 5x5 plan. I'm making 5 presentations every day. I'm having 5 meetings every week. I'm reading 5 books every month. I'm giving 5 encouragements every day, and I'm taking 5 products every day. And he didn't waffle or waver. And I'll tell you, that is not an easy thing to do. Some of you have a hard time doing 1 presentation a day. Think about doing 5. 5 a day. How many contacts do you need and how many people you need in your hopper to do that? A lot. Well, that guy wasn't lucky. He didn't get on stage as Mr. Lucky. He got on stage because he had incredible work ethic and he persevered. And the issue becomes one of, if I want to be bronze presidential in 9 months, and if it's going to take me to do that kind of work, are you willing to do the work it's going to take? And that's just a question to answer. Because it's about discipline and it's about perseverance, not about lucky. Guy had a system, and it's really easy to look at what that system is. The Koreans shared it with all of us at Manifest, 5x5 system. You want to accelerate your growth in Manatech, then I suggest you do the 5x5. You want to be presidential in 12 months, then I suggest you do a 5x5. And don't ever give up on it. Never stop. Never stop. Just consistently do it and do it and do it. Every single day, do your 5x5 plan and watch what happens to you. But again, it's not luck. Number four, we believe, and you could say, well, Mary Jo, I know somebody. Well, yeah, you might know one person who happened to, you know, find two, three neighbors that were like jet juniors, and all of a sudden their business grew overnight without much effort. Well, you can sit there and hope that you get that lucky, but it's not going to happen. And what are you going to do when you go to your grave? You're going to put, I spent my life wishing to be lucky. I mean, yeah, that's a real great statement about what you fulfilled in your life. So I think people that actually get lucky are the ones that work really hard. The majority of people that achieve luck, quote-unquote luck, if you believe in the word luck, are people that really work very, very hard. And it follows them. So it's as John put in his book, he said, when it comes to success, you're better off hopping to it than hoping for it. And I like that. I put that quote in the outline for that reason. All right. Another misconception about success is that we believe success is productivity. So again, so we work for it. And a strong work ethic is unquestionably important, that we have a strong work ethic. But even if you work really hard, you're not guaranteed success. And that sometimes frustrates people because they say, wow, you know, I've been working at this Manatech business so hard all these years and I just never achieved success. And we get angry that we didn't achieve success. And I love working with people that feel that way because, you know, my first comment is I go, okay, let's go back and look at how you've been doing the business. What do you do on a daily basis? How many people did you contact last week? How many new people are you inviting into the business on a weekly basis? And I have people tell me, honestly, they go, I work so hard at this, Mary Jo, and it just never worked for me. And I go, well, and I ask them those questions. And sometimes it'll come out and they go, well, I'd never present the business plan. And I'm like, I mean, it's pretty amazing that you're growing this business and you work so hard at it, never were successful. And number one, you never presented the business plan. You never invited somebody to be a business partner with you. You only went after sick people and tried to help them with the products. And you're angry at Manatech or angry at something out there. You try to make it something other than yourself. You're angry because it didn't work. Well, I'm going to tell you, you probably worked really hard. And I'll give you kudos for working really hard. And you probably helped a lot of people. But if you don't work at this as a business, to build a business, you're not going to have a business. So we need to work smart, not just hard, but we need to work smart. So having a strong work ethic is just one piece of that puzzle. We need to work smart. We have to say, what is it that we want? Well, if that's what I want, if I want a business builder, I better go ask them to be a business builder. I better learn how to ask a person to be a business partner of mine. I better feel exceedingly comfortable with giving, you know, presenting the yes plan to somebody. I better love drawing out the picture of how they can get to $3,300 in 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, whatever they choose. That's what I like to say to people. You can do this program. You can do this in 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months. It's your choice. Either way, you're going to make $3,300. That's why the 3x3 works so well in doing that presentation. And I'm having a blast presenting it to people. I wouldn't go with it to anyone without presenting that plan. That's what my context, that's what they hear about. They hear about an incredible financial future for themselves. And so if you want to bring in all stars, that's the way you do it. If you want to bring in people to do the business, that's the way you do it. And you know, this new program that Manatech has put out there, I mean, the dollars flow so easily that, you know, I talk about the consumer conversion program, and there are a lot of ways to work with the program, to manipulate it, to make it work for you, to produce dollars. But you can play the manipulation route only so long if you're not finding business builders, true bodies, physical human beings who say, I want to do this as a business. You're going to be left behind. So all that strong work ethic is going to be gone for naught because you're not going to be growing what you committed to grow in the first place, which you wanted to build a better financial future for yourself and your family. So, again, productivity isn't enough. Work ethic isn't enough. We have to work smart. We have to do the right things. And how do we learn what are the right things? We get trained. We go to trainings. We take pathway class. We read books. We go to manifest and hear trainings there. We talk to the people who have done it and achieved great success, and we find out from them what they did. And then we incorporate it in our life. We change. We don't stay the same. That's one of the reasons I love at the end of every year for everybody to do that full analysis. What did I do last year in ManusTech? What worked and didn't work for me, and what am I going to do differently? So that every year you force yourself into doing a full analysis of what you did and how you're going to do it differently. And I did that from day one. I don't know whether it was just a part of who I was, but that was part of my cycle. How do I change to be better? And it didn't matter whether I created phenomenal results the year before. I wanted to create more phenomenal results. So every year it's an exercise I go through, no matter what results I created the year before, because it's a process of evolution. It's a process of change, a transformation. We can always do things better. And until you come to me and say, Mary Jo, I can't do it any better. And even when you tell me that, I'm going to tell you, yes, you can. But if you really believe that you can't do it anything any better, then you're stuck because you don't believe there's going to be a better tomorrow. And that's a sad statement of affairs. All right, number five, another misconception. We believe success comes from an opportunity, so we wait for it. Oh, I love this. We wait for that break. I'm waiting. How many people have you heard, if only my boat would dock? If only I would do this. If only I would do this. Well, Mary Jo, I got to get this out of my way first. I love it when people say, well, I really want to join up with you, but, you know, I got this going on right now, and wait until I get this out of my way. And I look at them and I go, it's called life, and it's not going to ever get out of your way. It's your choice whether you let life control you or you take control of your life. Your choice. But, you know, if that's the way you want to look at this picture, then look at the picture. But I want you to look at it deeper. I want you to take one more step back and say, have I been living my life like this all my life? Has it always been about what circumstances are in my existence and I've allowed my circumstances to control my future? What a sad story of a life. We all have circumstances every day. And some of you were at my training at Mana when I did that breakout session with Ken and Dottie Anderson. It was just a blast with them. I love those people. They're just great people. And I did that talk, and Joni was saying, she's probably on the call right now, but she said, oh, Mary Jo, I got four kids. I got this. And she gave us a whole panoply of what she had. And how do I fit in, man? And I just looked at the whole crowd. I said, how many of you have lives? That was the question. And that's the question. We all have lives. We all have kids. We all have problems. Your problems. Everybody's got a story. We've got stories. But are you going to let your story control your life? So it's not about, I'm going to wait until this happens. I'm going to wait for the boat to dock. I'm going to wait for this to happen. I'm going to wait until I find this. Or I'm going to wait until this is going to happen. Or if only this could happen. I mean, John Wooden said it, he says, when opportunity comes for those kind of people, it's too late to prepare. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready, and you've got to make the opportunity. John Wooden was the best college basketball coach ever in the history of the game. And he made opportunities happen. He didn't wait. It was about making the opportunity happen and being prepared to know what to do when the opportunity strikes. And I've seen that happen, too, where people go out there and all of a sudden they find a business builder and they panic. You know, one of the questions I would ask when I would train groups of people in my trainings in the past, I'd say, how many of you, you know, first of all, I said, how many you want, what do you want most of, more of in your downline? And everybody would raise their hand and say, business builders. And I said, well, how many of you present the business? And then, of course, three hands in an audience of 50 or 100 would go up. So everybody wants business builders, but they don't present the business. Then my next question would be, how many of you know exactly what you'd do if you found a business builder tomorrow? And again, two or three hands popped up. People just kind of froze because they didn't. So it was, again, if the opportunity presents itself, are you really prepared to tackle that opportunity? You better know exactly what you're going to do with that new business builder. What are you going to do with them? Be prepared to receive them. Because I really believe that from a Christian perspective, the Lord's not going to bring you anything that you can't handle. That's scriptural too. So that scripture to me says, I'm going to be prepared for whatever he has to give me. I'm going to be prepared every day. I'm going to have an open heart, open mind, open ability. I'm going to get my ducks in a row. I'm going to have my sheets ready. I'm going to have my trainings prepared. I know exactly what step by step by step I want to do with the new business builder. I know what kind of packet I'm going to give them. I know what websites I'm going to send them to. I know all of that. Because you know what? If I don't have that all in a row, if I don't have all my ducks in a row, when the opportunity presents itself, it's going to be too late to start preparing then. I'm going to lose that most valuable business builder. And I bet if I asked on this call, how many of you feel like that has actually happened to you? I bet there's not one person on this call that wouldn't agree with me that that's happened to them. That they did have that business builder come along, and they weren't ready. And they just kind of dumped stuff on them because they didn't know what to do. And the business builder has disappeared. Now, you can rationalize 101 different ways why the business builder disappeared, but you know what? If you ran a business and you were able to bring somebody on and put structure in their life and help support them transform their lives and build a financial success because you looked organized and structured, that person would probably still be with you today, come thin or thin, you know, thick or thin or whatever happened in Manitou. So how are we presenting ourselves? How are we, We need to be ready for the opportunity when it hits. We need to be prepared. We don't wait for it. We're totally prepared, and we create the opportunities in our life as well. So those are just some. Again, how's everybody on the call? Do we have some feedback? Are you guys? Do any of these relate to you? Do you see how you fall into some of these misconceptions on success? Anyone want to share?
Hi, Mary Jo. It's Joni. I knew you were
playing. There's Joni. Great.
Bingo. If it was on my list, it had to be on just about everybody's list.
Exactly. There you go. Good. Who
else? It's like you just read my heart.
I just what?
Read my heart.
I just read your heart. There. Wow. Who else?
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you. You're on.
Okay. This is Joe and Shirley Aldridge from Northern Virginia. We had to figure out how to get on this call. We lost our phone for 2.5 months, we wound up with a circus of events with two cell phones, and it was prohibitively expensive. But we found something called Magic Jack, $50 a year, and now we're back on the training call. So there's a way to get around every problem. You just got to find it.
Absolutely. There's solutions everywhere. You just got to dedicate your energy to find them. Instead of getting stuck, you just...
Okay, I'm going to mute again.
Thanks. All right, great. So you guys, everybody get it. You're always, you got to just, take on the opportunities. Run with it. Don't stay stuck. You know, success is not a mystical thing. It's in your grasp. You just have to grab it, grab onto it. Okay, so let's look at the second part of the training today, which is people create success in their lives by doing what? Clearly what Maxwell talks about, read the title of the book, Today Matters, and that's what he's saying. You want success in your life, then what you need to do is you need to focus on today. And you know, a lot of people think, well, that's pretty trite, Mary Jo, and I go, there's nothing trite about it. There's absolutely, it's one of the deepest statements you can make. Focus on today. Because, first of all, you don't know if you even have tomorrow. This may be the only time you have left. If you go back and look at yesterday, then you're letting the past control your future, and you can't depend on tomorrow because we don't know. That's why today matters. Every day matters. And every time you take action and create something, you build on it the next day. So when you procrastinate, you're just putting success off. You're putting your future off. You're putting financial stability off one more day. If that's what you look like, when you look at each of your days, you go, okay, I'm putting financial. I can't wait to put off my financial security. How many people say that? I can't wait to feel financially secure. I can't wait. I can't wait to waste another day because, you know, it's not important to me. It's just crazy what we do, but we don't want to evaluate our time that way because then we feel like some people say to me, "Well, Mary Jo, if I do that, then I'll feel pressure." And I go, "Pressure? What do you mean pressure? Don't feel pressure, feel empowerment, people." feel that today, look at what today gives you. I mean, I look at my Mondays, and I can look at a Monday, and I can say, wow, I'm on coaching calls starting at 8:20 Monday morning. Coaching calls, and then I roll right into my call that I do here, the training call. And you know what? At 11 o'clock, I'm just, like, exhilarated, not because, you know, I just accomplished a bunch of things that are on my task list, but I have this incredible 5 or 6 hour slot of time now. Lydia fills it up with three-way calls and other things, but I just can get a ton of stuff done this afternoon. I mean, I'm exhilarated by the fact that I have that time to accomplish the 20 things I have on my to-do list. It's a blessing. But if you don't have a to-do list because you didn't plan for it yesterday and you don't have a direction in your life of what you're going to do and you're not thinking through things and masterminding to make sure what actions you're taking are smart, then maybe for you today doesn't matter. But for me, today is gigantic. And you know what? I look at each day of my life the same way. And that doesn't mean that every day you have to do 10,000 things to feel like you're creating success. You know, some of my days I say, you know what? I'm committing this day to touch people's lives. I get Lydia to dig out 40 names of our past, of people that maybe aren't ordering anymore that were, you know, close to me in the last 10 years, some way, shape, or form. And I'll just call them and touch their lives. I'll just call them up and say, Veronica, how are you? You know, I haven't talked to you in about 5 years or 3 years, or I haven't heard from you. I just want to find out what's going on in your life. Because you know what? You matter. And so I might spend, so you see, but to me that's, you might look at that and say, well, Mary Jo, that's not growing your business. And I say, well, yeah, because I might not get any of the people. I don't call them with an agenda to get them restarted on Manitech. I call them because I care about them. But you know what? That's very fulfilling. That's extremely fulfilling. And that's what I'm doing here on Earth, is to, you know, impact lives and touch people. And so to me, it's huge. But so every day doesn't have to look like a rat race around Manitech. It doesn't have to look like I'm talking to 25 people. It looks different for you. But every day should be something you plan and you structure, and you have a fulfillment in that day, because today matters. Now, he talks about yesterday, and he said, of course, you know, people over-exaggerate yesterday. And how do I know that? Because people love to tell me their stories. You know, I did an exercise around this on Saturday at my church about victim-responsible, how we go victim to things that happened in our past. We get stuff that has happened, and we carry it in our knapsack. And one of the main reasons we carry victim stuff, that people did this to me, oh, and this was done to me, or this happened to me, or I lost my job, or blah, 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 or, you know, and we carry the story around. And the reason we carry the story is because we want to be right, or we want people to feel sorry for us. I don't want anyone feeling sorry for me. That's the last emotion I want people to have for me. I mean, it's just where you want to be in life. So you decide, is your story going to control your life? Because you can choose it. When some people look at me and they go, well, Mary Jo, I'm not, you know, how do you choose out of it? I mean, my past does control my future. And I go, no, it doesn't. And they're like, yes, it does, because it happened to me. And how do I, it happened to me, so it's changed me. And I said, you chose to allow it to change you. We make choices in my life. Yes, things happen in your life that you can never change. Just like you've heard my story about my brother. My brother was shot and killed by his wife, and I lost my brother. And this happened now 9 years ago. And did that change my life? Well, it changed my life that I don't have my brother living with me on this earth today. That's a change. But did it change me emotionally? Well, probably on a temporary basis, I was, you know, there was a lot of pain there. But you know what? I got his two kids. I got to live with my brother again, because his son moved in with me. And I was never going to get to live with my brother, and that was the closest thing I had. So I got some incredible gifts. I have two beautiful children, now young adults, that I talk to every week, who I love dearly. I mean, so the emotional gain in my life far outweighs any emotional loss. But it's because I chose to look at it that I chose to take it on in its greatest light. And no matter how bad the circumstance, there's always a greatness around it. And for those of you in the Christian walk, we know Romans 8:28. We get it, but do we live it? We speak it, but do we live it? So yesterday, all I tell you to do is take the knapsacks out, take the rocks out of your knapsack. Take the rocks. What rocks do we carry around Manatech? Oh, some of you are still, Texas AG is a rock, the securities litigation is a rock, the skincare is a rock, the Global View is a rock, the, you know, Sam Castor is a rock. You carry all this stuff. You guys got to flush all that stuff out. It's a new day. It's a new look. You let yesterday drag you down, your attitude, forget it. Success won't be yours. But you're choosing not to block it by living in the past. Okay? And most of us, when we allow the past to control us, or we allow yesterday to impact our lives daily, is a lot of us don't even see it happening. We do it without even thinking about it. It just is happening. And what we need to do is put it behind us. The past is the past. It's behind us. It's not to impact our future. We use the past for one thing. And the one thing I use my past for is this. I learned from my past. Every single thing I did, good, bad, and different, whatever happened, I always grow from past because there are experiences in life that allow me to come from a greater level of maturity in dealing with my future and my today, okay? So, but it's your choice. And he wrote in the book, he put a sign on your desk. If this is an issue for you, put a sign on your desk that said, yesterday ended last night. I love that. So when people said, oh, man, I had a bad day yesterday, I said, good, it ended last night. So next, you know, in fact, Lydia says one of my favorite words that I use, and she was very much caught up in her past when I first met her, very much. Her past was very much controlling every moment of her day and the next day and the next day. And it was the whole thing. She just couldn't believe it. She'd do something at work, and I'd say, okay. She'd screw something up, and I'd go, okay, well, here, let's not do that again. And I'd show her how to do it, and I'd go, next. And she'd look at me and she goes, how can you do that? How can you put that behind? And I go, what does dwelling on it do for me or for you? Nothing. It's only negative. So I don't allow negatives to run my life. I don't allow them to be in my life. I dismiss them when they hit my life. I grapple with it then and there in that moment and allow it to move on. So your choice how you grapple with it. So again, don't let yesterday control. Because if I ask you a simple question, do you want your past to control your future? I have yet to meet anyone who says yes to that question. Well, then don't allow it. In other words, choose for it not to. And this also gets into, some of you heard me describe the concept between possibility thinkers and probability thinkers. When we allow our past, that's when we ask somebody, well, you want to join me, and you give them the yes plan presentation, and they go, oh, I've tried network marketing before. It didn't work for me. And I look at them and I go, so does your past control your future? Are you choosing that? I said, what didn't work for you? And then I find out what it was. It's not that network marketing didn't work. It's that somehow they didn't have a support system. They never were trained properly. The guy above them was just, you know, manipulating the system. They had 100 and they didn't have a good product. The product started selling out at Walmart, so it all fell apart in their face. I mean, there are 101 reasons why it won't work for somebody. But it's not because they can't make it work. And that's where they've drawn the conclusion. And you just need to go back and look at that because their past doesn't control their future. So you find out what it was that they think was the causative factors and why they weren't successful, and then work on those things. Because you want to always live your life from possibility, not probability. Because probability thinkers have dead ends. They never will experience what is in store for them in their life because they base everything they do and don't do based on probability instead of possibility. Okay, second, so that's about our past, and I do whole trainings. We could do whole trainings just on overcoming past. In fact, I think I did a mini-series on that a couple years ago. The second thing is we overstate our tomorrow. Some people, you know, they talk about tomorrow. Will you be making more or less money? Will your relationship be better or worse? You ask all these questions, and you ask, why do you think these things are going to be better based on experiences? No, based on hopes. So we live in this life that we just hope for the future. We hope for a better tomorrow. We focus on tomorrow's got to be better. Well, I believe tomorrow's going to be better. I just inherently believe that. But I don't focus on tomorrow Because if I focus on tomorrow, what happens to each day of my life? It passes me by. And I'm not allowing any day in my life to pass me by. Every day has a level of importance and significance in my life, and it's what I make of it and what I choose to make of it. And so today matters. Every day matters. Every day I live matters. So, and I love it. Another quote he put in there about our overemphasis on tomorrow, just hoping for a better tomorrow. So we live in this, some people call it the la-la land. They walk around, they go, well, tomorrow, you know, I know my life is crappy, but tomorrow it'll be better. And I go, great. I believe my life's going to be better tomorrow, too. But what am I doing about it today to make it better tomorrow? I'm not waiting for my boat to dock, waiting to get lucky. Remember all these misconceptions of success. I'm taking action today that will enhance my life tomorrow. So every day, if you finish off each day of your life and you go, okay, let's evaluate my day. What did I do today? What did I accomplish today? That enhances my tomorrow. Isn't that a wonderful way to look at it? So evaluate what you do each day, and maybe put yourself on an evaluation that could help you make sure that you are enhancing each day of your life. You're enhancing your tomorrow. And then he put the quote: "Hoping for a good future without investing in it today is like a farmer waiting for a crop without ever planting the seed." Isn't that great? Because our investment today is what creates our tomorrow. So if you want a better tomorrow, make the investment today. So, bottom line is what? The secret to our success is determined by our daily agenda. Our daily agenda determines our success. Our daily agenda. Think about that. Today, what happens today, Monday the 30th of March, is going to determine for you your success. So what is your daily agenda? In his book, he puts, most people don't lead their lives, they accept their lives. This is a reactive approach. In other words, what do? They approach their lives passively. And you can choose to do that. And some of you are going to look at your lives right now and you can say, you know what, that's what I have been doing. I've been one with the world and I've just been moving along with it and I'm just kind of passive. And when things happen, I react to it. If you look at your life and you say, all the things that I've done in the last 3 months, 6 months, year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, I'm always sitting back and I'm reacting to things that happen. That's a passive lifestyle. And it's not going to lead you to success because your whole life is based on reacting to things that happen to you. You're not taking any control. You're not stepping into the driver's seat. You're allowing somebody else to drive your life. You're accepting your life. You're not leading your life. The proactive way is where you take action. You take action. Life isn't a dress rehearsal. You don't get a chance, second chance. You have this one life. You live it. You either choose it and be proactive, or you passively move on. It's not a dress rehearsal. I love that quote. Life is not a dress rehearsal. So you get to choose. Are you going to be proactive? If you're going to be proactive, then you focus on preparing. If you're reactive, then you'll end up focusing on repairing. Okay? Preparing or repairing? Preparing lets you focus on today. It increases your efficiency. It increases your confidence. It saves money. It takes you to a higher level. It pays now for tomorrow, right? Repairing pays now for yesterday. How many debts am I paying off? I'm paying now for what happened yesterday. I'm still paying for that. Well, you know, that TV set I couldn't afford 6 months ago. Repairing increases costs. Repairing breeds discouragement. Repairing consumes time. Repairing makes you focus on yesterday. Repairing, most importantly, becomes an obstacle to your growth. So choice, again, choice. Are you going to be reactive or are you going to be proactive? And it doesn't matter where you are today. You can be in the repairing mode and still choose today matters. Choose to become proactive. Sure, you got to clean some stuff up in the past, but that will naturally happen. When you start choosing to be proactive and making things happen, you're going to see incredible changes in your life and your financial security and your joy and everything else. So is, as Benjamin Disraeli said, he said, the secret of success in life is for a man to be ready for his time when it comes. Yeah. A man to be ready. That's a great saying. Now, another quote I wanted to give you is one that came from John Wooden. It's a John Wooden quote, and some of you have heard this before. Again, we know that John Wooden was UCLA's Hall of Fame basketball coach, and I think he won 19 national NCAA championships or some outrageous number that no one will ever duplicate. I shouldn't say that because anything's possible there. I just came from probability. The probability is that no one will duplicate it because it's such an awesome statistic, but it could happen. And he would exhort his players to make each day their masterpiece. That's how he lived his life. He asked his players to make each day their masterpiece. And this is his quote. When I was teaching basketball, I urged my players to try their hardest to improve on that very day, to make that practice a masterpiece. Notice, it wasn't the game day. He makes a practice a masterpiece. Too often we get distracted by what is outside our control. You can't do anything about yesterday. The door to the past has been shut and the key has been thrown away. You can do nothing about tomorrow. It is yet to come. However, tomorrow is in large part determined by what you do today, so make today a masterpiece. This rule is even more important in life than in basketball. You have to apply yourself each day to become a little better. By applying yourself to the task of becoming a little better each and every day, over a period of time, you'll become a lot better. Only then will you be able to approach being the best you can be. Isn't that great? Some of you related to that and went, wow, that sure sounds like The Slight Edge. Revisit it, right? You read a lot of those kind of books. But it's Kaizen. It's what it is. It's that continuous incremental improvement that may make little changes every day that create immense results in the long term. And a masterpiece requires two things, decisions and discipline. And as he puts in there, he said, good decisions without daily discipline is a plan without payoff. Daily discipline without good decisions is regimentation without reward. And good decisions and daily discipline is a masterpiece of potential. That's a great one to put on your board, too, if you have a lack. You probably, after all the suggestions I've made, have a lot of information sitting in front of your face, in front of your computer. But all of these are great pieces. If it applies to you and hits a home run ball for you, people, you know, put it up on that, you know, on a piece of paper in front of you above your computer so you see it every day, so you get it. You really grab onto it. Decisions, okay, so let's talk about decisions and discipline. Decisions help us start, and discipline helps us finish. They're the bookends of success, really, decisions and discipline. Most people want to avoid pain, and discipline is often very painful. But as he puts it, and this also comes out the Power of Focus book, if you read that by Canfield, same thing. He says, really, two kinds of pain when it comes to daily activity. You have the pain of self-discipline, or the pain of regret. And as they put it in the Power Focus book, he says, we're going to live our lives and die with either having lived the pain of self-discipline or the pain of regret. Which one do you choose? Whoa. I don't think we want to live the pain of regret. We think we want to live a life with the pain of regret. Most people avoid the pain of self-discipline because it is the easy thing to do. It's easy not to be disciplined. In fact, it's so easy that most of us choose that path. But the pain of self-discipline is just momentary. The payoff is incredibly long-lasting. So when you look at successful people, you can say, that's a very disciplined person. They put a lot of pain, and they went through a lot of pain and agony in their life to be totally disciplined, to achieve the success they did. But you know what? Look at the payoff that they have today. So an example of this is making the decision to exercise. There's pain involved in exercise. But once you develop it as a daily routine, or a three times a week routine, whatever it becomes for you, the payoff is so incredibly long-lasting. And then it becomes no longer a pain. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot of discipline. Once you get it built into your life, you fall in love with it. I love exercise, you know. I love to do it. It becomes part of who I am, part of what my persona is. But that didn't happen overnight because it was painful at first. But it takes time and takes discipline. So those are the choices we make. Now what John does in his book, as he did from stage, is he gave us 12 critical areas of decision that we need to make. And he says you make these every single day. Every single day. Now the decisions you make, it's the discipline of carrying them out on a daily basis, right? But you need to make decisions about each of these 12 critical areas 12 critical areas you need to make decisions about. And then on a daily basis, you have the discipline to acknowledge them and carry out the actions that support the decision you made. Because he's, you know, one of his great things that we talked about coming out of Manifest, where he said decisions are overrated, right? Decisions are overrated. Managing the decision is underrated. In other words, people decide they're going to be presidential director in Manatech. Well, that's great, but how are you managing that decision? That's what's being underrated. That's what we need to look at and look every single day of our life. Because I have a lot of people that say, Mary Jo, I'm going to get to presidential. But you know what? How many people are actually doing it? How are they managing the decision to get to presidential? What are they doing every day? Because today matters. Okay? So the decisions. But the decisions have to be made. You got to make the decision, because if you don't make a decision, you're not putting the rudder in the water. You're not putting the light at the end of the tunnel. You're not putting the directional. And if you don't have the directional, you're not going to get anywhere, because you don't have a directional where you're going. So you got to make a decision about them. So he says, here's the 12 areas that you make decisions on. Number one, you make a decision about attitude. You need to choose and display the right attitudes daily. So what is the decision you're going to make about attitudes? You've got to make a decision. Some people say, okay, I'm making a decision about attitude. I am going to have a positive attitude every day of my life. I'm going to take that positive attitude and I'm going to, you know, operate from positive instead of negative. I'm letting nothing get in my way of my positive attitude on a daily basis. I'm going to be the eternal optimist. You can make a decision that you're going to eliminate certain words. I'm not going to ever say the words, I can't, if only, I don't think, I could, I don't have the time, maybe, I'm afraid, I don't believe. You can make a list of words. These words are totally, I'm removing negative words out of my vocabulary. That may be a decision you make. I'm going to find someone and something positive in every situation. A decision you make. I'm going to say something positive in every conversation. That's a decision you make. I'm going to express gratitude to others daily. That's a decision you make. Remember the Korean plan, 5x5. I'm going to encourage 5 people every day. It's a decision you make. So attitude. You make a decision about attitude. You make a decision about your priorities. Okay? Every day you make a decision. You make a decision about priorities, and you carry it out every day. So what's important to you in your life, and then you carry out that decision every single day. If time is a precious commodity, you make a decision that time is a precious commodity, and then you carry that decision out every day. You can't change your time, but you can change your priorities. So you make a priority. If you say my spouse is a priority, that's a decision you make. Then what do you do every day to carry out that priority? So priorities, you need to determine your priorities, okay? So you need to make, but you got to make a decision about them. Health, same thing. You know, people make health decisions. You know, you make a decision. What decisions am I making about my health? And then you carry it out every day. What do you do? Family, thinking, commitment, finances, faith, relationships, generosity, values, growth, all 12 areas. But you got to first make decisions about each of these 12 areas. Each one of them needs you to make a decision about them. Because if you don't decide on them, you can't improve on them and you can't carry them out every single day. And they're not something you're going to be disciplined and you know, manage that decision. So the decisions have to be made. So that's the critical nature. We need to make decisions on each of these 12 issues. And what he does at the end of the book, he makes a suggestion on how to tackle the daily dozen, which I think is really great for all of us. So if you've got issues in any of these 12 areas, and I highly suggest you get the book because you can go through each of the, he has a whole chapter on each one of these 12, a whole chapter. And he says, what he does is he says, you take these 12 things, and if you took them today, you probably could rank them yourself. And what you want to do is, but you want to make a decision about them first. I mean, you make decisions about your faith. You make a decision about your finances, okay? You make decisions about them, and then what do? Every day you manage the decision you make. So you rank, what you want to do is you want to rank your, this is how you tackle your daily dozen. He says, number one, rank yourself on the daily dozen 1 through 12. One being the best, the thing that you do best. For a lot of you on this call, maybe health is going to be your number one thing you do the best. Some of you it might be family. Some of you it might be faith. You know, you just, you know, some of you it might be your values. Some of it might be generosity. Others of you, you're eternal optimists, and it's attitude. That might be one of your things. But rank yourself 1 to 12, 1 being the best on each of those 12 categories. Secondly, verify your self-evaluation. How do you do that? You go find somebody you know who knows you well and you know well, and you show them what you've done. You talk about the 12 categories and you say, this is where I think my strengths are. Would you please give me some tremendously honest feedback of whether you think I have these ranked right? And then you have them help you if there's adjustments, and you make the adjustments. Then the next step is you take two strengths. In other words, your strengths are going to be your top six ones. Those are the ones you're strongest at. So take two of those strengths. Make sure you've made necessary decision about them. Then begin daily disciplines to make them a part of your life. And John gives suggestions at the end of each chapter on these things. But you want to take two of your strengths, make decisions on them, and then build the daily disciplines to make that part of your life. Then he wants you to go back and pick one of the weaknesses from the bottom six and make sure you've made necessary decision on that, one, then begin daily disciplines to make that part of your life. After six, so now you're working on three things. You're working on two of your strengths, and you're working on one of your weaknesses. After 60 days, he says to go back and evaluate how you're doing. If you've made a ton of progress, then he wants you to start over again and pick two strengths and one weakness again and start on those. If you don't feel you've made a lot of progress, then you sit down and say, what's wrong with me and why am I not disciplined? And let's get this structure going and start putting more time and effort in the ones you haven't achieved and maybe replace the ones that you feel like you've really made tremendous headway with new ones. But he said never, ever, ever work on more than three at a time and never work on more than one weakness at a time because you just can't tackle it. The same attitude I have, that we never want to take too many changes on in our life at one time because we won't effectively do any of them. Great stuff, people. Today matters. So I just ask you maybe today, start today. Look at those 12 and say to yourself, okay, what decisions am I making about each of these 12 things in my life? What decisions do I make? Write them down, and then every day visit them. In the morning, what are my disciplines around this? Right? Got it? And every day matters. That's what success is all about. It's not a mystery. It's at your fingertips. But to think it's not going to take self-discipline and take some structure in your life, you're kidding yourself. Seat-of-the-pants success comes and seat-of-the-pants success goes. Building the rocks, building the foundation. A house needs to be built on a foundation. Your success needs to be built on that foundation as well. So build that foundation for yourself and understand that today, what you do today, how you behave today, the decisions you make today, what actions you take today will create your tomorrow. So it totally matters. All right, any last-minute comments, people? Anyone have any comments, questions? How did this impact your life? Are you going to do something different? Quiet group.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
Mary Jo, this was great. Really good.
Does it help? Boy,
yeah.
Kind of cool about, and doesn't it feel empowered? Do you guys feel empowered by this?
I do.
Oh, because so many people walk in a state of no hope or no thinking tomorrow's not going to be, you know, and this to me should just be this gigantic opportunity to say, I can make a difference. I can create a great, you know, just give you, empower you to come from that positive language that truly your tomorrow is in your own hands, but your today is what matters.
Yeah. There it goes.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Anita.
I
think if anyone said they wanted to do the business, that this would be the first, I don't know, talk that you had them listen to, because right away you would find out if they really wanted to work and do the business instead of just hoping to do the business.
Sure. Are you willing to be self-disciplined, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, and to know that it does take work. So often we're brought in and, oh, nothing to it. And that's not right.
No, it's not true. And I could, could just get that brand new person on one of these calls and let you guys introduce yourselves to them and tell them that you've worked really hard, and it's not true that it's that easy, right? I know.
Yes.
I
and
have
a it would let them know
exactly
what was expected.
Exactly.
So they could make a good decision.
You bet. You bet. Yep. And that's why when we get new people involved, we tend to give them steps. You know, you proved to me that my time is going to be invested well. Here's steps. You make them jump through hoops. And if they don't do the steps, people move on. Next. I mean, yes, you can get them to listen to this call, which is terrific, because everybody needs to understand that today matters. And they need to understand that they really have tremendous amount of control over what happens in their life tomorrow. If they just start structuring their life and making good decisions and then disciplining themselves to follow through on those decisions in those 12 critical areas of their life. What a difference you can build for your life. I'll guarantee you one thing. You're going to have a lot more joy in your life. I guarantee that. I guarantee
you. Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
As a senior member of life, this call is necessary for everyone to live a freer life.
Right. Yep. Absolute. Yep. Thank you. Very true. And that's what our goal is, to be freed from the bondage that we have structured our lives around. We've created bondage because that's what we've done with our lives. And the joy is to be able to look at it and say, wow, we can move on. I mean, I always love to tell people, you know, for 20-some years I practiced law and I was in corporate America, and talk about building bondage around myself. Sure, I might have been, quote-unquote, successful from a monetary perspective, but my goodness gracious, I mean, it was robbing me at so many different levels, and it was busting out of that and moving forward and just knowing that there, you know, I didn't really know. I didn't know what I could create. I didn't recognize the power within and through God. I wasn't acknowledging that what was possible, and the breakthrough of just taking that on and just saying, okay. And being in that flow today, I feel like I'm in that flow today. It's just always about improvement. How can I be better? What can I do differently? How do I need to change? What do I need to add to my life? I don't think that's ever going to end for me in my entire life. It will always be a part of my life about how to be better, how to do things better, how to improve, how to make better decisions, and then how to be more disciplined in carrying out those decisions. And it every single day matters, every single day. So I don't want to throw days away because they're so invaluable to me, because that's what supports my tomorrow. Okay, people,
bye.
I love you all.
Yeah.
After all this, have a great day, right? Are we going to make this a great day? You know.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Start working on it. And
Mary
Jo,
thank you for taking the time to, you know, read this stuff and condense it and teach it so wonderfully to us, because it's really invaluable.
Thank you, Susan. Oh, you're invaluable to me. Understand that too. So this road goes both ways. Yeah. All right, love you all, and have a great week. And we'll talk. And don't forget about social networking. If you have some ideas for me, please send me some emails and let me know on that, because I think there are a lot of people that are interested in it. And even if you don't have interest in doing it, and you go, oh, Mary Jo, that's not me. I think it's important that you understand it, because it may be important for somebody you bring on board. And remember, we're business builders out there. We're going out there finding business people, and you know, this could be the mechanism they want to use. So you want to be up to date on what's happening so that you feel like you could, you know, at least honor somebody who wants to take that direction and maybe give them just a little, you know, directional advice. So that's the purpose of learning it, whether you choose to do it or not. All right. Love you all. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.